Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. I want to tell you today that God has a call upon your life. You're so special to Him. There's not another human being created like you. No, we all have different fingerprints, different DNA, and God has called you. It is a call of grace, and we know that Jesus is full of grace and truth. So your calling from God is of grace. That means you're gracious to those around you, especially your family. It is a call of grace. It is a call of compassion. Oh, comfort and compassion go hand in hand. It's like God wrapping His arms around you. It is a call to walk with Him and know His heart. I had a real interesting email from a listener in Nebraska the other day. And she asked, what is the anointing? She said, I see it in pastors and teachers, but I don't know what it is. Well, let's look at it in a way where the anointing... I want to say that Jesus is called the Anointed One, right? All right. So in John 14, He said, we will make our abode, our dwelling in you. So He's saying, plural, that He and Holy Spirit are going to come and dwell in your hearts. Now, we know that as we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we're born again. I just want to present this to you. So if the Anointed One is in your heart, then when the Word of God comes out of your mouth, when you are talking to people, praying with people, giving them a wonderful word of inspiration that can help them in their time of need, you are anointed. You are anointed when you say those words. That revelation knowledge is flowing from you. And it says in Isaiah 10:29, that the anointing removes the burdens and destroys the yoke. That's what we're here for, folks. And we are anointed. If you really believe that Jesus is in your heart, this is a test. If you truly believe that Jesus is in your heart, in your spirit, He has come in and He dwells in your spirit, and He's anointed, what does that make you? You're anointed. Absolutely. I'm answering my own questions. I hope you don't think wrong of me. But it's flowing. And as we speak to people and as we grow in Him, we are spreading that wonderful anointing, that flow of Holy Spirit, living water on people. Oh, it's such a blessing. Such a blessing. So thank you so much for that question. I've had to think about it for a couple of days, and it's been wonderful. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. I just want to tell you that if you want to look at more teaching, listen to the radio shows, the previous radio shows, go to freedomstreet.org. You can donate there as well. You know that I don't beg for money. I don't do a lot of advertising at all. And so I just want you to know the Word of God is supreme in my life. It's the highest thing that I could ever imagine that God would have called me to, is to speak the Word of God over the air waves to you today in Nebraska and Kansas and Wyoming and a tip of Oklahoma and Texas in Western Colorado. God bless you guys in Western Colorado and all over the place. New Mexico. Yes, almost forgot. No, I wouldn't forget you, New Mexico. That's where Darren graduated from high school. So I just want you to know that you are so blessed in the Lord, and it's just such a pleasure and an honor, a privilege to be talking to you today. As you know, President Trump delivered a very long, high-stakes speech at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland today. For 1.5 hours, he covered every issue that was on the minds of the attendees. I don't know if he won many over to his thinking, but he tried to explain so many things to them. What I love to do, what love to hear is that he talks in a softened voice. It's like I was listening to him and I was saying, you know what? It's like they're in a living room. There are about 1,000 and standing room only there. And it's like he's talking to his friends in the living room, very comfortable, familiar area. And he's just talking like he would be talking to you and me. It was such a precious moment knowing that the President of the United States, the representative for us, is going over there. And even though he's trying to get people to believe that what he's doing is the right thing, he's doing it softly. And it's like Roosevelt said, speak softly and carry a big stick. And that's what Teddy Roosevelt said. So speak softly, but carry a big stick. So he tried to explain why Greenland should be under the covering of the U.S. I didn't know this, and I haven't been always in favor. I've been going back and forth. I don't know about you, but he was explaining after World War II, Greenland was free from German occupation and was given to Denmark. Given. And we will see here that the United States, without the United States being in that war, they wouldn't have won. Europe wouldn't have won. They wouldn't have seen the freedom that they got. So the United States was a big heavy during World War II. And like Russia was given land that it shouldn't been given out of the goodness of their hearts and for equity's sake, some territories were given to countries who had no business taking charge of them. And I also see that President Trump has in his mind of building a golden dome, and Greenland would be a perfect place to help with that shield. It's very interesting to be looking on the world scene, knowing that soon, it's a wonderful expression of our thoughts and minds, knowing that soon Jesus will return. And I'll tell you what, you think everything's upside down now when he returns. It's going to be upside down. Oh, praise God. So we want to continue to pray for President Trump that God would give him the wisdom and the understanding. I fully believe he has a total business understanding of what's going on. And it looks like the people that gathered around him after he was done speaking were businessmen, billionaires, millionaires from all over the world, and they were listening to him. They might not agree with him, but they wanted to be there and hear him. So God bless you, President Trump. Our memory verse for this week has been 2 Chronicles 16:9. Oh, for the eyes are upon the ways of a man, and he sees all his steps. And Psalm 34, verse 15 tells us to depart from evil and do good, to seek, inquire for, and crave peace and pursue. Go after it. The eyes of the Lord are on the uncompromisingly righteous, and his ears are open to their cries. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And God is watching over all the ways of man. Yeah, he's watching you. He really is. And not to spy on you, but because he loves you. He wants to keep you in his scope so he can just watch over you. I believe that. It's like, you know, my dad wanted to be able to watch over me when I was a little girl, make sure everything was good, I was safe. So I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful our Heavenly Father wants that. Yesterday, I gave you some definitions of justice, which I looked up in Webster's Dictionary, and here's what I found. Justice means giving to everyone what's due. Justice means equal distribution of what is right. See, that was President Trump was trying to do. He was trying to distribute equal to those who had contributed in the war. And it didn't turn out as good as it should have. And number three, justice is to administer what is right. I believe that's why God has put Job right in the middle of the Old Testament, you know, closer to the beginning, but right before Psalm. Why did that happen? Because it's an important book, folks. I know some of you have never read through Job. You may never read through Job, and that's why I'm going to give you some scriptures today. He's letting us know that he is judge, and he will mete out or dispense or allot justice in his own good time. That's right. He's God. He's God, and I'm going to let him be God because I can't do anything else. I'm just a human being that he created, and I just want to love him as much as I can love him, with as much expression that I can love him with. So even today I read in Job 37, verse 13. Oh, it's so full. When you begin to totally understand Job and his intentions and his friend's intentions and what God was intending to do, oh, it's just so good. It says here in Job 37, verse 13, that God's justice comes out of the earth surrounded by his majesty. He is exalted in power, and here's the word, justice, and abundant righteousness. And justice here is giving to everyone what's due. And he looks at our hearts, and he does not pay attention to those who are wise in their own eyes. God hates pride in any form. Little pride, big pride, it doesn't matter to God. He's giving Job a deep look into his divine character and wants Job to learn about his love, righteousness, and justice. God is God, and he's right in every situation. And that's why some of us have gone through more trials than usual, because God's trying to show us the pride that we exhibited for so many years needs to be deleted, needs to be ceasing in our very being, in our mind. So, boy, and there was a lot of pride in me, and I'm getting rid of it. You know, it's like taking it through a sieve. I'm getting rid of it. I'm so grateful that God in his love was working on me to refine me like silver in a refinery. Oh, in Job, God is speaking to a sick and desperate man who is dying. Job at this point was dying. If God wouldn't intervene, I believe he would die. He would have died. And how would you take it if God spoke to you like that, or a friend came by and suggested a solution to a problem or an issue you had in your life? That would have to be a very close friend, because if not a very close friend and they just want to give you some really good sound advice, I would be hard-pressed to think good thoughts of that person. You know, when I don't see them around very often, and then all of a sudden they've got all this wonderful advice. So I understand Job. I really do. Here in Job 38, verse 22, God says, "Have you entered the treasuries of the snow, or have you seen the treasuries of the hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? By what way is the light distributed?" And remember, even in the Old Testament, hail came down and killed men. And in Revelation, it is spoken of as huge, huge hail coming down and killing people. So he's using the hail for battle and war. Who has prepared a channel for the torrents of rain, or a path for the thunderbolt to cause it to rain on the uninhabited land, on the desert where no man lives, to satisfy the waste and desolate ground, and to cause the tender grass to spring forth, and also the weeds? Who has put wisdom in the innermost being, or has given understanding to the mind? Who's done all that? Who's done that? Can you count the clouds by your wisdom, or tip the water jars of heaven? That's such a beautiful description of rain. He just has some water jars up there, and he just tips them every once in a while, and down comes the rain for us and refreshes the earth. Do you begin to see God's justice on this earth? As I'm reading these verses, some of you who may have never read Job may ask me, why should I read a book that's thousands of years old? Well, that's a good question. In fact, the historians believe that Job was written during the times of the matriarchs, between 1400 and 1440 years before Jesus was born, a long time ago. And why should we read it? Yeah, why should we? A lot of it is just such a downer. Well, I believe God is in this to teach us some new revelation in his love, his care, his justice, and also in our reaction to some of these things that are happening in our lives. So are you asking, why should I be getting out? What should I be getting out of reading this book? Or does any of it apply to me? Yes, my answer to the last question, because we all believe that we have answers to many questions asked. Oh, yeah, just ask me. I know the answers. That's why people go to and are on Jeopardy. They think they know all the facts and answers. We believe that what we have to contribute is very important. In fact, so important that we don't put a lot of stock in what other people say. And in fact, there are times I've heard so many times people interrupting other people who were talking. They just don't have time for them to put the period at the end of their sentence. And I think that's so wrong. When you think you have so much to say and you're interrupting a person that is talking. Ooh, so irreverent. So this book gives us emotional responses in the middle of suffering unbelievable pain. Job wanted to die in some of the monologue in the first part of Job. And there are times in our lives when we ask, why am I here? What am I doing here? What am I going through? And why am I going through? Oh, and both husbands, when I've lost both husbands, that's what I asked. And then I finally said, this is not helping me. Going back to why? I eliminated why. And I think you should too, if you're still asking that. Why am I going through this? It's not a sin to ask those questions, folks, but it's more valuable in our days to thank God for what we do have instead of thinking about things we really don't know anything about. The truth that we are fearfully and wonderfully made should be sufficient for all of us. And there are those who need to put forth their 2 cents worth, and I hope that you will guard your mouth, because sometimes you're just talking too much, talking about things you really don't know. Now, Job, granted, he had pain. He was scraping the boils. He knew what he was going through. He did not know the origin of his disease. He did not know that the devil had asked God for Job. And God said, yes, I will give you permission to harass him, but don't you kill him. So God had an idea here. Now, God talked straight to Job and his friends, letting him know that he was the creator of all things. And their reverence for him is paramount. Job establishes truths while he's asking questions. Truths like in Job 17, verse 9, the righteous, the morally upright people hold tight, keep a firm grip on life. That's right. We are real. We are realists. We have reality in our life rather than fantasy. So they make sure that their hands are pure, and your hands, and they grow stronger and stronger because they know that they are innocent before God. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that you are innocent before the Father? Job was determined to say the right things before God, maybe thinking that he knew more than his creator did. Job 37 verse 13 tells us that God causes certain things to happen for 3 reasons. For correction, for his world, for the benefit of everyone in his world, and for loving kindness. So you see, God does things even today for our correction. For my correction, for your correction. When we're out of bounds, when we're doing something where we're in error, God corrects us. And I'm so grateful for that. In Job 19, verse 25, Job declares, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And as the last day comes, Jesus will take his stand on the earth. It says he, but I know it's Jesus will stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh, I shall see God. I shall behold him. Oh, we shall behold him, friend. Have you ever felt that you just had to say something and began a monologue and you're with people that had nothing really to do with the subject at hand or what the others in your conversation were talking about? It just came out of the blue, and so you just blurted out. The idea of being humble during a difficult situation is far from your mind. You gotta get what you want to say out for everybody to hear, even if it's not according to what everybody's talking about at that moment. I've been in there, and I know you have been. You've got to prove that you're right, you're worthy, not only for others' benefit, but for yours. You got to tell them that you are experienced, you know. Oh, you are worthy of others listening because you've been through many life-altering experiences and through more emotional things than others can even imagine. Oh, I'll tell you what, that pride, it makes you feel like, wow, you've been through so much, so you know more than anybody else. I believe that is not only the beginning of pride, but you're steeped in pride, and God needs to humble you. Here in Job 38, God is asking Job, who has put wisdom in the inward parts of the dark clouds? Who has given understanding to the mind? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? When heat has caused the dust to run into a mass and clods to cleave fast together? Can you, Job, hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they couch in their dens or lie in wait from their hiding place? Who provides for the raven its prey when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? And God answers Job by saying, do you still want to argue with the Almighty? See, God realizes that Job wants to find a place where he is right. And you are God's critic, Job. But do you have the answers? And Job replied, oh, Lord, I am nothing. And this is in Job 40. I am nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I will cover my mouth with my hand. I have said too much already. I have nothing more to say. And you know, once those words are out, you can't take them back. So you've got to watch your words and channel them in the right places. The Lord answered Job from the whirlwind, brace yourself like a man because I have some questions for you and you must answer them. Will you discredit my justice and condemn me just to prove you are right? Are you strong as God? Can you thunder with a voice like his? Oh, Job is humbled. And that's where we have to start, friend. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will exalt you. God is wanting to give you the answers. He doesn't want you to tell God the answers. Oh, I'm agreeing here with this song that John is going to sing. Oh, I'm wasting no more time. I've made up my mind. I'm going to settle down and really get to know you, Lord. Here's John.
Beautiful. Oh,
And Reed Hess sang that beautiful song at John's memorial service on March the 2nd, 1990. Beautiful song. It comes from the scripture in Mark 11:23. Jesus is saying here, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," and we all have mountains, obstacles in our life that keep us from that true intimacy with God, "and it and does not doubt in his heart, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says," you say it with your mouth, "what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him." So God is teaching Job here all kinds of things. He spends an entire chapter describing a crocodile. Why do we have to read that? Because God is saying, "I know you more than I know a crocodile, and I know every detail about the crocodile. And yet I want you to know that I love you. I love you beyond anything you can imagine." See, this Bible is God's love letter to you, expressing his heart of love to you. So I want to tell you that when God finished speaking to Job, and Job prayed for his three friends, for Eliphaz and his two friends, they gave an offering, a sacrifice. So when you are transpiring with God, you need to give an offering to God. You truly do. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. Job didn't know before that he was going to even be healed. He did not know, but he did what God told him to do. He prayed for his friends. God gave him twice as much as before. Then all his brothers and sisters gathered around them. Where was everybody when he was sick? And they consoled him and comforted him because of all the trials. So God blessed Job more than anything else. His second half of his life was even better than the beginning, for now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen. He had more sons and more daughters, and he lived a great life, a great long full life. Oh, how beautiful. Kim will be with me tomorrow. God bless you and keep you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in